Happy Bitcoin Thursday, freaks. It's your host, Odell, for another Citadel Dispatch, the interactive live show focused on actionable Bitcoin and freedom tech discussion. I am ninja launching a dispatch today, live from the park. We are currently hosting our first ever Global Bitcoin Summit in partnership with the Human Rights Foundation, and we have participants from over 55 countries here with us. So with all that said, it means we have a very tight schedule, and it means that I am going to try and get in here and just ninja launch live whenever possible. So sorry for the lack of notice, but I would say that we already have two people in the live chat, CB Coop and BTC Pins, which is impressive considering I gave people 5 minutes notice on Noster. I am joined here by two first-time podcast guests ever. First podcast ever is officially Citadel Dispatch. We have Skylar from Fetty. How's it going, Skylar?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Skylar, your official title there is...
Head of Design.
Head of Design. And he also designed the dope swag and logo of Global Bitcoin Summit. And then we have John Arnold, who works with me at 1031. How's it going, John?
Doing well. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Glad to be here.
Let's fucking go. As always now, guys, we do have the Noster live chat shown on screen. You can get to that by going to CitadelDispatch.com/stream. So what do you want to talk about, guys? I know we were talking about circular economies.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I've been talking with people, particularly builders here while I've been at the park, is the reality on the ground about building Bitcoin products is so different than the ideology of Bitcoin Twitter. And it's very refreshing to hear people say shocking things like, you know, I built this Bitcoin business dependent on Bitcoiners paying Bitcoin in stores, and like no Bitcoiners are doing it. It may be sad to people.
Have you spent Bitcoin?
Sometimes I do, but not enough to where I could see anyone making like a business out of it.
If you went to a store and you saw, just coincidentally, you saw like I accept Bitcoin sign or whatever, would you pay in Bitcoin or would you still just tap your phone?
It depends on my relationship.
What's your main payment method? Is it?
It'd be just dollars, you know.
Do you use Apple Pay or something?
Apple Pay.
Yeah. Do you use cash ever?
Rarely.
Interesting. What about you, John?
I use cash when I remember to bring it. Part of the issue is remembering, but I love spending Bitcoin here, especially for my own node. It just feels like such a superpower. Odell just threw a wad of cash on the flex. A
bunch of ones.
Yeah. make it rain with the ones.
Oh, there's some hundreds. Okay.
You always wrap the ones around the hundreds.
Yeah, that's smart. I didn't.
Basic UTXO management.
Yeah. Look, if I ever went to a store that had Bitcoin accepted here, I would willingly and gladly pull out my phone.
Would you have a wallet ready to go?
Yeah, for sure.
What would the wallet be?
Probably Breeze.
Okay. So not a wallet.
Yeah.
Mine's Wallet of Satoshi.
It's kind of where I was going. I was looking for the Wallet of Satoshi or Strike answer.
Yeah. Well, I have Strike too, but yeah.
But I mean, so that's interesting. So the way I'm an ideological consumer.
Yeah.
So if I see I will always attempt to pay with cash if Bitcoin's not accepted. And even if the store says no cash, I will take my cash out and attempt to pay. So then they're like, oh no, do you see the sign? No cash. Cause I want them to feel that pain of going card only. But if I saw, which I, let's be honest, is very rare. If I saw for some reason I walked in and it was a Bitcoin accepted sign, I would 100% pay with Bitcoin.
We were talking on the way over about takes that you have that Bitcoin Twitter would broadly disagree with. And actually this like maybe spurs one for me.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not something people disagree with, but I think it's gonna come ultimately from the merchants. Like there will be, and I think needs to be, merchant demand to receive payment either in Bitcoin or over Bitcoin, whether that's like, you know, something like what Strike has proposed, using Bitcoin as a rail or some other method. But yeah, I think that starts as like 1% discount for paying in Bitcoin, 2% discount, whatever, and eventually gets to like, I only take Bitcoin here, like keep your dollars at home. But I think that's the catalyst that's going to make it happen, not probably the other way around.
So except pushing pockets. Discounts to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so this relates to something we were talking about too, which is Bitcoin. You don't only have two options for jobs, the fiat world and the Bitcoin world. Like you don't have to work at a Bitcoin company and you don't only have to work at a fiat company. Bitcoiners should all be making really good companies, regardless of if it's like Bitcoin or not.
Yeah, this is what I said. Like, like maybe we should be telling people like open a retail store and accept Bitcoin.
Yeah, like make the best retail store ever and be super profitable, be amazing. And then you onboard people to Bitcoin that way.
Like I have freaks of all shapes and sizes that list Dispatch and Rabbit Hole Recap. And I'll always remember this one guy who was like, I really want to contribute to Bitcoin. And he's like, I'm a dentist. Like, what should I do or whatever? I was like, just be a dentist that accepts Bitcoin. Like Bitcoiners need dentists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause you'll probably reach more people with Bitcoin than if you only accepted Bitcoin at that point too.
But this is like the other part that we were talking about. Basically, me and Skylar and John were having a conversation outside and I dragged them into the studio and I was like, it's a waste if we don't turn the mics on. It brings up another question, which is I think to distill it, the way it kind of comes is merchant demand first, that the merchant wants their customers to pay in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is why would a merchant want to do that? Now, for the first Bitcoin business of a type in an area, there's a very strong marketing incentive, right? Or like the Perth Heat, for example, the Australian baseball team that everybody knows, even though no one follows Australian baseball, because they were the first baseball team to accept Bitcoin. And then all of a sudden, you know, people might not actually be spending Bitcoin on beer and stuff in the venue, but they're selling jerseys abroad globally to people with Bitcoin. But a second baseball team adds Bitcoin, or the third, those kind of extra marketing effects they're getting are diminished. And same with if you had a hardware store in Nashville that's accepting Bitcoin, that first hardware store might get like 90% of Bitcoin in business because we go out of our way to shop at the one hardware store that has Bitcoin. But when three or four have it, then you hit a stumbling block.
The Perth Heat, I think, is a great example, actually, of kind of the dynamic that I expect to play out over time. Like, Pete Nguyen from Fetty was talking about it yesterday on one of the panels, that one of the issues that they were having was baseball players from like Japan or from the US in the off season would come down to Australia for like 3 months and play, you know, in the leagues down there. But if you're only gonna be there for like 3 or 6 months, it's like a nightmare or impossible to get like a bank account. And so like, how do you like manage payroll? How do you get paid?
Yeah.
Well, Bitcoin obviously is like the easy solution for that. And, you know, it's a unique solution. And suddenly it like solved this problem for them. The light bulb went off and they integrated it. And I think it's like, that's more the story that we're going to see. It's like merchants probably won't in mass like accept it because like, you know, fuck the state or because of desire for like censorship resistance. They'll do it because
I wouldn't discount the incentive of fuck the state.
I would love if that were the case. I'd love for that to be a thing and, you know, broadly. But I think like something like the Perth Heat where it's like, the light bulb comes on because like this solves a problem for me in a way that the fiat system can't. And for like US merchants, I think that'll mostly
they had a
like
real need.
Yeah. So that'll come from like, you know, the pull of the incentive more so than the push of like ideology. I'd love if there were more like ideological stores just like accepting Bitcoin just because of all its, you know, valuable qualities. But yeah, that's what kind of what I expect.
We will get there eventually, but just now is not the time. Like, I think that really
the time comes is
up,
now.
Well, the time is now, but I think the price increase will bring way more merchants be like, I want to get some of this stuff. Like, I want it. Like, it's going up. I want it. It's like that. NGU tech is like, it drives this. merchants have to want it. You can't just give them something they don't want. Because right now, Bitcoin is kind of a burden to a lot of merchants because they're like, my minimum wage employee is trying to deal with this software that we use like once a month because one Bitcoiner comes in a month and is like, I want to give you sats. And they don't know how to use it. So they're calling them. Like, it's just a headache, you know? And then if the payment doesn't work, like if Lightning, like.
Right. I mean, with on the opposite side of that would be something like Taquiza, which is the taco place in Miami.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like the Perth Heat of taco places.
Yes.
And it's like the owner of Taquiza is a Bitcoiner and wants to stack sats and wants Bitcoin to win. Mm-hmm. So like he gets all of his employees the Bitcoin standard and he's like constantly like, I assume he like wakes up in the morning, like walks in, he's like, have we made any Bitcoin today, folks? You know, and just like constantly trying to make it happen.
But he also accepts fiat and his business is healthy because of that.
Right.
Right. A lot of people want to pay in fiat. So.
Well, then what about that? What about, and maybe this does not work for physical businesses. I'm not going to say doesn't, it depends where you are, but for online businesses that just are Bitcoin only, there's something to be said about, there's a ton of Bitcoiners that the only time they've ever spent Bitcoin was because they had no choice, that there was no other currency accepted.
Yeah.
Is there an argument for online businesses that only accept Bitcoin and force you to kind of figure it out if you want the product?
I don't think that's a good idea, personally. I don't know what you think, but I'm like, I would rather see really, really healthy, strong businesses that also accept Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I don't think you can be really, really healthy and strong if you're only accepting Bitcoin. It just limits you. That's a hot take, but I'm like, you're cutting. Like, there's some companies that only accept Bitcoin. I would love for them to implement something on their website that says pay in fiat. And when you tap it, it tracks the click to see how many people actually want to click pay in fiat. But it says coming soon, or like, we haven't built this out yet. And you just kind of trick them. But like, it captures their initial like, oh, I actually want to just pay in fiat. Because then they could actually see like, how much business am I actually losing because of this? And then quantify the mm-hmm. reality, you know? So I don't know. That's kind of my thing. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like a market segmentation argument, right?
Yeah.
Like where... if you are primarily serving Bitcoiners, or if you think like, you know, Adele was talking about, like you're the first business in an area and it's like, it's like a marketing initiative and a way to kind of differentiate yourself and make a splash. Like that makes a lot of sense.
But doesn't that cap like that? There's such a limit to that.
For sure.
And in businesses, you don't want limits. Like you don't want limits in that way. Like you want limits in other ways, but like there's a small pool. Right. And it's like kind of want the ocean, not that tiny, like,
I mean, it's not mutually exclusive.
Right? Yeah, that's like, true. That's true.
A business being on a Bitcoin standard, like a small business being on a Bitcoin standard, doesn't really like, you know, dilute or, you know, harm the overall push type of organization.
No. Yeah.
At best, it's a small, it's small positive. Right. Like,
yeah, that's true.
It's kind of all upside.
Yeah. But I think there's like a point too of like, I just want to see Bitcoiners.
We have BTC pins in the comments going, as a merchant that used to accept fiat, I have a good idea how much less business I've had and I'm fine with it.
How much less?
Yeah,
I want to know.
Like, BTC pins, I love you, but it sounds a little copish. Can you, do you have any like numbers or percent?
I mean, I understand. Yeah, I totally understand the drive to do it, but like, yeah, there are downsides to accepting fiat, of course, but I think there's
I think the ultimate like Trojan horse for like the way I see it playing out is something like dollar to Bitcoin to dollars, or like your currency to Bitcoin to my currency.
Yeah.
And like, you know, if I want to receive Bitcoin as a merchant, I can do that. If you want to pay in Bitcoin, I want to receive in dollars, I can do that. Like, and then, because then you get to a point where all the infrastructure is eventually set up. Probably initially it starts out as dollar to Bitcoin to dollar everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then gradually and suddenly, right, like merchants are like, well, maybe I should take some of my settlement in Bitcoin. And maybe it's like 5%, then 10%. And then maybe I just constantly receive Bitcoin. And by the way, like,
it's the slider UX, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I like visualizing the slider UX where the merchants constantly is changing the balance of their split. Yeah. BTC Penn says half sales, but also bear market. I will say also, like dealing with fiat fucking sucks. Like when we started OpenSats, we were like, we're going to have no bank accounts or anything.
That's cool.
And like now we do, and now it's Gigi's problem, you know, and it's a fucking pain in the ass. And even with that, like we knew we needed to accept credit card donations.
Yeah.
Even though we convert them into Bitcoin, like we knew that's what, you know, people were going to want to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of just like products. It just kind of ties back to some product thinking that I've had, which is like, you don't want to force people to do things that aren't totally natural to them. Like that is friction. And like, yeah, obviously some friction is good and not everything should be so easy that like you can be brain dead and do it. But like, there's just some things. It's just like, there's other ways to get people into Bitcoin than like forcing very difficult situations.
And well, I'm not like trying to force anybody. I just,
no, I know.
It's
just like a principle you have.
I also need to like, I don't want to sell Bitcoin. I want to spend Bitcoin.
Yeah. That's what much like, more fulfilling. I agree.
Mean, well, let's talk about it. Like if we want to talk about a business, it's such a chicken and the egg, right? Because if you want to talk about a business or a person operating on a Bitcoin standard, it works much better. It's much easier once you have other businesses you can buy stuff from. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And do all your expenses in Bitcoin. Like every time you have to convert to fiat before you make a thing, that's another piece of friction.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's complete chicken and egg. Like I think neither probably comes first. It just kind of organically happens gradually then suddenly, right?
Yeah. Because the more like I've tried this sometimes. Like before, I was doing freelance for a while, and if you get paid in Bitcoin and you have bills, fiat bills, you're just like. And you go on Twitter and they're like, never sell your Bitcoin. You're like, dude, what am I supposed to do? Yeah.
You have to like reverse DCA.
Yeah. And I'm like, these people like that say never sell are like clearly not earning Bitcoin.
They're not all in.
Yeah. It's like, right. Like when you're actually all in, you're like, oh shoot, this is really hard.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, I would love to pay all my bills in Bitcoin. I would spend Bitcoin.
It'd be
if
so
that
nice.
Was the case. Yeah. But
I mean, the problem is like fiat denominated liabilities, like still dominate pretty much all over the world.
I know.
It's like,
I agree.
And that's why we have like these stopgaps or whatever, like BitRefill, the Bitcoin company, like
great.
Gift card stuff.
So good.
I think there's something to be said about in the meantime, like it would be nice if, you know, Amex integrated with someone. So like it just showed me a QR code I could pay with Lightning. You know, it's just like you're still using a credit card, but like at least you're paying it off with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like it doesn't have to give me sats back. It doesn't have to denominate shit in Bitcoin, just like payable by Lightning invoice. I think would be like a nice step function improvement that should be relatively low lift. Like you just have to convince one company.
What if there was a company, there might be one that does this, but what if there was someone that built like this layer, which it was like, they're like, yeah, we're going to handle all the conversions for you for whatever credit card, any bill you have. And they just, you basically pay them Bitcoin and you trust them to pay your bills.
That's like, what Bill Bitcoin does in Canada. They call it bills.
So they basically handle that fiat conversion for you.
Hmm. Yeah, you pay them Bitcoin, they pay off whatever, like your phone bills or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be. I haven't seen that in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if regulation...
Like difficult to build.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. Again, we're early. So
I mean, Bull Bitcoin also gets, they get away with some no KYC tiers and stuff. And like Canada... I mean, it has a lot of faults, but it seems like in some ways their financial regulation is a step above.
Yeah, which is kind of astounding, right?
Yeah.
Given everything that's happened in the past couple of years.
I mean, we're the land of much KYC and
yeah.
long arm of FinCEN.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the reasons I'm concerned that so much mining is happening here.
Sure.
Okay, well, on the positive note, I really liked what Leo said on the panel yesterday that we did in Circular Economy, which was Leo is the former face of Hong Kong Bitcoin. And he did the Hong Kong Bitcoin meetup for 10 years. I think he had the Hong Kong Bitcoin Association as well.
Mm.
And then he moved to Vancouver when Hong Kong fell.
Mm.
And of course, as every other Bitcoiner, was a complete masochist and couldn't help himself and entrenched himself in the... Vancouver Bitcoin community, and now he believes that they have the most Bitcoin accepting merchants that are active in North America.
Dang.
His main tactic was they would add a merchant and then they'd basically task meetup participants to like stop there every day and just bombard them with essentially like fake traffic.
Yeah.
Like real life bots until, because that way they also, the employees constantly get reminders of it. Yep. The meetup participants can be helping them accept the Bitcoin because, you know, whoever knows which employee is serving there doesn't know how to use a point of sale or something.
That's smart.
And basically like arming your meetup group to kind of fake it till you make it.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm all for that. Like the grassroots push, like we should definitely be doing that. I should be doing more to like help with that. We probably all should. I don't know if it scales, but like it's...
It
like
definitely a, like does said, not
yeah,
scale.
Yeah. I mean, it goes hand in hand.
It's like though, not like, scalable by design.
Yeah.
But I think the idea is like a defibrillator or something. Like if you can, like I think we all, and it's a little bit dangerous. Like I, Justin says this, like this idea of Bitcoin being inevitable can be dangerous depending on your perspective of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then you feel like you don't have to do anything.
Yes.
I think most of us believe that like Bitcoin being the standard money of the world, that you can spend anything you need to buy, like you can buy with Bitcoin and vice versa. That it's like inevitable in the future. But the thing that I at least want to think about is like, how can I make that happen a little bit quicker? Like the quicker mm-hmm. that happens, the better, especially if you're looking in a situation where, you know, we've already seen a ton of pressure on the fiat exit ramps to Bitcoin. And, and there's a good chance that they get closed down even more. Right. And private Bitcoin usage and self. And when I say private Bitcoin usage, I don't even mean you understand privacy best practices on Bitcoin. I just mean self-custody.
Like an individual. Yeah.
Holding self-custody could potentially be criminalized or be discouraged and made very difficult from a regulatory point of view. And what protects us from that is the ability to spend and earn in Bitcoin directly, because it's inherently more distributed. If it's a bunch of bodegas versus, you know, three on-ramps or whatever, exit ramps, it's a big difference.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, this is not to indicate that we should be complacent by any means, but I think you've said before, Matt, that like governments clamping down on Bitcoin to show like why you need Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And like, if you really get into this adversarial, like truly like adversarial situation where these exit ramps are just being blocked, like that's probably also a situation in which the value proposition of Bitcoin is becoming clearer and clearer to more people. And so you probably also get like, it's like you squeeze like really hard on this one end, and on the other end, it just all kind of goes to the other end, right? Mm-hmm. And you get more businesses and people just like realizing some need for like the use of.
But to be clear, in that situation, the merchants would all be fuck the state merchants.
That'd be great. Yeah.
And also, I mean, you created the term fuck the state merchants, or I adopted it from you. Like, that's what most of the cash only merchants are.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, they're not doing it out of convenience. They're not doing it out of, they're doing it purely out of like, mind your own fucking business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing it for ideological reasons. I mean, there's few and fewer of them, but.
Well, this, what you're talking about with the state clamping down, it made me think of when gun regulations come out, you go to the gun store, everything's sold out it's way more expensive.
Smith & Wesson stock goes through the roof every time there's like, you know, talk of like new gun control laws.
But when I talk to some people in my life that I've like orange filled, like, you know, they kind of are like, they get, when they think about something happening, when some regulation happening, they're like, kind of makes me want to sell.
Interesting.
I'm like,
it's different people.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah, of course. But I'm like, why do they think to buy more guns before like
different people though?
No, it's the same person.
It's the same person's going to buy more guns.
They view Bitcoin and guns as different.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? I mean, clearly there's an obvious reason why they're not the same thing, but like,
they're both freedom tools.
They don't see Bitcoin as this thing that can protect them.
Maybe it's a lack of physicality.
Probably.
It takes a little, it's like more of a paradigm shift in your head. Like, it's very easy to hold a gun and understand the power.
Maybe the internet thing makes them think that it can be confiscated easier or like sent easier. Well, I don't know.
Theoretically, like the benefits of having a gun accrue to you like entirely regardless of like what's happening outside in the world. Like, if you know how to use it, like it's fine. You kind of need, for like, to get the maximum benefits, you could make the argument like to get the maximum benefits out of holding and using Bitcoin, you need, like to Matt's point, a bunch of merchants to accept it. And so like, if you
or
end
else
up,
it's not useful.
Yeah. You're out on this island where you hold this like freedom money that no one wants.
That's a good point.
So like a gun, it's not really the same thing because you can get all the benefits from just holding it. But like Bitcoin, you could argue, I don't really agree with this, but like to steel man it, like maybe that's
you're right.
Okay, like, but anyway, to connect everything, like it should be such an obvious sell to get gun stores to accept Bitcoin. And that's been a hard process too. And a lot of them are still cash businesses.
They're like, I know about gold.
Yeah.
I accept gold.
Yeah. Like I could bring in my gold bar and pay with that.
Is it
like
just
some of them accept personal checks, you know, and they don't accept Bitcoin.
Is it just the boomer factor?
I think mostly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe we should give them like the creature from Jekyll Island. Maybe that might like wake them up a little bit. That might make them gold bugs, but I don't know.
It is interesting the comparison of like gun culture because there's a lot of similarities, right? If you talk to a lot of people in the firearms community, they will say like, if you went to a store and completed a background check, like you have cucked guns, right? Or like you have no KYC guns.
That's true.
There's a lot of cultural overlap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's freedom tech. Like you said.
Exactly.
But
it's interesting. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, to go back to your controversial opinions that most of Bitcoin Twitter doesn't agree with you, you use the term orange pilling.
Yeah.
Fucking hate the term.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's so bad.
Yeah. So why?
Because you can't force someone to use Bitcoin. I don't think you can really convince someone to use Bitcoin. I think they need to find the need. And I think Bitcoin is inherently with consent. And for whatever reason, I just feel like I'm sitting at a bar and you're dropping an orange pill in my drink.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you don't make the connection to the red pill, take the red pill?
No.
I mean,
that's the obvious connection to make.
I think it's like,
but I'm not red pilling necessarily. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can take whatever pill you want, but like orange pilling is a action you take on someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no force there, though.
Is there not?
I mean, dude, the picture is he's holding out a blue pill and an orange or a red pill, and it's like
no. I'm saying in Bitcoin terms, like when someone says orange pilling,
I've always thought of it as just like convincing someone to take a pill.
Nah, maybe I'm wrong.
But Neo took the red pill, like him said. They were held out and like offered to him, right? And he like, you know,
but
reaches
the
out.
The conversation
and takes
is the offering, I think.
Yeah. I took the orange pill. I think that's fine. But to say like, oh, I orange pilled him, like that sounds like,
how
you know,
many people
I gave
you
this
orange pill?
Yeah.
Oh, like I was on vacation the other day and I orange pilled 15 people.
But dude, that's not force. That's definitely not. I mean, unless they literally forced it, but I'm like, I don't like it because it's cringe, but I kind of just embrace the cringe about it. But I'm like, I
really hate it.
Yeah, I can see that. That's funny. I haven't thought of one of my opinions that.
All respect. We have Stacktoshi in the Nostra comments saying the orange pill app guys would beg to differ.
Yeah.
I have a funny story and shout out to those guys. I have a lot of respect for them. They asked my opinion on the early days right before they were going to launch. It was like 3 weeks before they were going to launch. And I was like, change the name. And they were like, no one has told us they didn't like the name. I was like, well, maybe people don't like it, but they just don't have the balls to tell you that you should change it. I was like, that's my opinion. You should change it. They're like, nope, we love the name. We're going to keep it. I was like, okay, well, I just needed to put that out there.
Just needed to say it. That's funny. Yeah. I mean, I think a good critique of the pilling thing is like, it's a pharma psyop.
Okay.
To always be talking about taking pills as like an ideological, like ingesting ideology through pills is like sort of, I think that's like the higher level critique of like why we probably shouldn't use the word pill anymore.
Mm. However we get there.
But this language, these memes matter because they do help shape people's vision of the world.
Yeah. That's the galaxy brain take. Actually, just like all pills are bad.
Yeah.
Like stop taking pills.
Stop thinking about pills. Yeah. Like, it should be like meat, you know, think about like whole foods, basically like a steak.
I just look, I think we've all been there. We've all convinced someone that wasn't even considering Bitcoin, you know, to think about it or use Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But I think in general, there's too much focus on people that don't want Bitcoin yet. and don't realize the need yet, and too little focus on just focusing on the people that already have the need and already have the desire. And maybe because it's the former is an easier lift. Even if you fail at convincing them, it's an easier lift to go to complete new coiners, pre-coiners, and be like Bitcoin 101. But I think if you were like, actually, like, what's the only thing more scarce than our Bitcoin? It's our time.
Yep.
And if you wanted to actually talk about like, okay, let's say we have 500,000 empowered individuals that like really care about the Bitcoin mission and the Freedom Tech mission, and they want to go out and evangelize or be missionaries or whatever on for a Bitcoin standard, like, where is their time best used?
Yeah.
And most of that time is being wasted, quote unquote, attempting to orange pill people that don't want it yet.
So what should they do instead?
Focus on the people that want it already and need it. There's a bunch of people that already want it. They don't know that that's what they want,
but they
need it and want it. And those people are underserved. And then the general mass normies are overserved.
Yeah. Maybe I think it's a question of like leverage, right? Like, it's like two ends of the spectrum. Like, there are people who like really need it around the world. Like, they're represented like by many of the activists here this week. And then there's like, if you can orange pill, like if your uncle is like Larry Fink, or if your uncle is like someone who can move like billions of dollars into Bitcoin and like create dramatic, like, you know, reservation demand for the asset that has like the NGU effect, like, I do think that matters. And like, so those two ends of the spectrum, like, are high focus points. But yeah, like, I don't know, orange pilling like your cousin who has, you know, he's just like some random guy.
You got like $50,000 in savings.
Yeah.
Or something.
Wait, so you guys are saying don't orange pill your cousin?
No, just maybe it like, or, you know, don't spend like, you know, a month of your life trying to get like.
Well, yeah. I would say friends and family are the exception, period. And you can actually cut down on the time it takes, because you if you mention to them Thanksgiving or Christmas or whenever you see them, they'll just completely dismiss you.
Yeah.
And then you mention it again, and then the price pumps, and then they're either really interested or the price dumps and they're like, ha, told you so. Then the price pumps later, and then they get interested, and then they reach out to you because you're the Bitcoin cousin.
It's
or
a filtering mechanism.
You don't actually have to do that much work. You're just being a little bit annoying, and you just keep repeating
planting the seed.
Yeah. Most family members that I've gotten into Bitcoin or whatever, it's taken multiple touch points.
Oh yeah.
And you just do, like, I've had some experiences that like, it took a decade for them from the first touch point to the end. It took them a decade. I see Pablo in the comments asking about Rabbit Hole Recap, my other show. That will be at 10:45 AM Central Time tomorrow. So you're getting this instead.
Poor substitute.
No, I think it's a great deal.
It's a great deal. You get two for the price of one. Yeah. John, what's your most controversial? Not your most controversial opinion, but what's something that Bitcoin Twitter would disagree with you on?
Well, I threw out my controversial opinion on merchant adoption.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I could maybe come up with more.
That's not really that controversial, though, is it? I guess.
I don't know. I feel like I see a lot of disagreement with that or I would, but maybe not.
Skylar, did you give us your controversial opinion?
Oh.
I sound like
saying,
smiling.
You keep saying controversial, which he wants not to the say, right one. Right,
he's trying to shy away from his first podcast. He's already in the controversy.
He really wants to say tail emission. I can see it.
Yeah. No, my controversial or something I believe to be true that most Bitcoin Twitter would disagree with is I think stable coins are just they're just so important. In the transition, they're so important.
Who's important?
Stable coins.
Interesting.
And that
I don't feel like that's that controversial. Bitcoin Twitter disagrees with you, though. That's why you cared about.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't know if it's controversial, but I think a lot of Bitcoin Twitter would say, no, you just ignore stable coins. But also, when I say stable coins, I don't freaking care how they're built.
But the terms, we agree the term stable coins is a PSYOP, right?
Yes.
Like, they're inherently
No, it's not a PSYOP, it's relative. Stability is relative, or subjective rather. Like, value is subjective, stability is subjective. So one person's stability is another person's volatility, depending on what their context is. Like, if someone's currency is inflating at 100%, that is chaos.
Yeah.
And the dollar is order.
Right.
So I'm like,
but I mean more from like,
Yeah, this is sales psyop, and they're not going to last forever.
In most of their incarnations, they have, you know, massive central points of failure that could have, like, just instant zero black swan risk.
Yeah, I agree. So
like, it could be stable for...
Yeah.
I mean, look at Lunaterra, right, is, like, the example.
So...
Stable till it's not.
Of course. So, the name is a psyop.
We should just call them fiat coins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be down for that. Fine. That's kind of... better actually, because it is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, but like I said,
it's psyop too. It's like,
I don't care how they're built.
It just it instills that it's
the truth. It's a psyop that gets you to the truth. Yeah. I like that. So I don't care how they're built. Well, I care how they're built. I want them to be built well, and I don't want them to be.
That's what Novigrad said right before he put the tattoo on his arm.
But most Bitcoiners use dollars every single day. And yet they say that they can't use a stable coin.
Yeah.
You could completely be off the fiat dollar system and you could be using some Tether thing and some Bitcoin thing. And I'm like, why would you not want that? That would be cool, I think.
So, I mean, I think, that's kind of what Strike does.
Yeah.
When they in their global app, right, where they don't have, but they don't give people access to withdraw the stable coins or deposit this or the fiat coins. You have to do it through Bitcoin or whatever, but it's what represents the dollar balance. I mean, the way I kind of look at it is, like, if Tether weren't to get shut down by the US government, There's little reason to own Bitcoin or use Bitcoin or whatever. Like, you have purchasing power protection or whatever. But
you're saying if it didn't get shut down.
My point is, the reason Bitcoin exists is because centralized alternatives to traditional financial rails always get fucking shut down. And Bitcoin needs to be as robust and censorship resistant as possible. And what does that mean? It means it needs a free floating native token to pay miners, so you don't have any third party risk. And so the whole reason we have Bitcoin, the token, in the first place, isn't for people to get rich, even though I do believe Bitcoin is designed to pump forever. It's because you need it for a system, a payment system that doesn't have that has censorship resistance. So I think on a long enough time scale, most of these stable coins or fiat coins will actually be lessons in third party risk and custodial risk and lessons in why Bitcoin is great.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me. It's building those kind of solutions are relatively high time preference, in my opinion, because you're building something that will not last and that will potentially result in pain for users. And we saw that with Luna. There was so much Tether FUD that when I was talking to some Bitcoiners in Argentina or whatever, there was a lot of usage of Terra because it was the quote unquote decentralized stablecoin or whatever. And those people didn't learn the risk of that until after they got rugged. Right, they didn't understand what the trade-offs they were making until after they got rugged, and that is my biggest issue with it. I will never say that fiat coins aren't useful today. That there's clearly tons of demand for it. People want dollars. The traditional financial system sucks. They're cut out of it.
Yeah.
Anyone who's ever sent a wire, knows that it's a fucking pain in the ass, and bank accounts are a pain in the ass. And just even if you're using a centralized chain like fucking Tron or something, it's incredibly easy to send Tether, and you don't have to, you're not actually trusting the Tron chain or whatever, because you're trusting Tether's Excel spreadsheet and their bank vaults.
Tether is just so based.
Dude, I'm
like it is so cool.
It amazes me. It's so funny too, because I've been for a decade arguing against Tether truthers, but also in the back of my mind, just tomorrow's going to be the rug. But I always I call it cruise missile risk, right? I think it's, the long arm of the US government will eventually catch up to you, and not necessarily malicious. So I both have expected Tether to fail this whole time, and then also have been arguing against the people that are just Tether's a straight up scam, pumping the price of Bitcoin, and everything's a Ponzi.
It's kind of your Binance argument, right?
Yeah, you're in Bitcoin long enough, you just end up defending ridiculous things.
Well, it's nice because it kind of breaks you out of normal, traditional thinking. I mean, because Binance is a complex thing, and they are banking the unbanked all over the world.
Yeah.
In reality, like
they're actually doing it.
They're literally on the ground doing it, and Bitcoiners are saying, "You guys, this is so bad." And I'm like, "You should be doing that."
I mean, the problem is they're like buy BNB,
yeah,
and all this and all the other fucking shit, and they are doing shotgun KYC on people. And
but like, look at the problem they're solving, and can't we solve that?
Yeah,
like, aren't we smart enough to solve that problem?
Well, it's less smart. I mean, maybe it's a different type of smarts. It's not a technical smarts that has led to Binance's success. It's to me, it's mostly CZ willing to potentially go to jail for the rest of his life for this whole time. And like, he's just been operating under that assumption. Like, there was never an attempt. Like, yeah, he did like Binance US or whatever, but it was like a half-assed attempt. Like, he's never tried to be regulatory compliant. He's just assumed this whole time, like, that's his enemy. And it's like,
isn't that ANCAP?
I mean, he is. That's the difference between him and like more modern shitcoiners, in my opinion. He's like that sovereign individual Bitcoin shitcoiner, right? He has big bags of Bitcoin. Like, he understands the value prop of Bitcoin. you know, he just also scams people.
You can be an ANCAP shitcoiner.
Yeah. There are many
such cases. For sure. Cases. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
But like, there's two different breeds of shitcoiners, right? There's a shitcoin. Like, I honestly believe that SBF, like when everything went to shit, like he had a go bag filled with crypto or whatever, and his go bag was like all SAM coins, like FTT and like Sol and shit. Like, he actually believed the shit he smoked. But like, I think that CZ's
he was high on his own supply.
CZ's
that's for sure.
Go bag is fucking Bitcoin. Yeah. Like he at the end of the day, like BNB is his fucking Ponzi token or whatever. But like, he knows the value of Bitcoin. It's a different breed.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Do OGs get nostalgic of OG grifts and scams? I wouldn't say nostalgic, but it's just a different breed of people. I mean, the Binance thing is interesting because of the same reason that the Tether Bitfinex thing is interesting. If you go by exchange, if you go, it's hard to track metrics of exchanges, but
yeah,
because they can be game, they can be faked. But Binance is by and far the largest, not even fucking close. But we can see what their exchange balance wallets are, and like how many coins they supposedly hold for their customers, like on chain. And we don't know what their liabilities are, so it's not proof of reserves. Keep that in mind. But you can make some inferences based on that. And based on that, it goes Binance, then a big drop off, then Coinbase, then Bitfinex, and then a big drop off. And you know, Coinbase is going to custody all the ETF coins. They have already basically signed surveillance sharing agreements with the SEC and stuff. So like, when the US government says we need to make sure before we have an ETF that there's no market manipulation, what they mean is they want to make sure that the market manipulation is done by suits in a regulatory compliant manner.
Yeah.
And they don't want black market almost, you know,
influence,
free market influence over it. And they can't do that with Binance and Bitfinex and Tether existing. So in my opinion, that's where the majority of this FUD is coming from. But at the same time, like, he could be hit by a cruise missile tomorrow. Like, I'm not saying that's not the case. And not your keys, not your coins.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the Tether guys. Like, it's crazy to me that they just... And now they hold all these treasuries. Like, I don't even understand. Like,
yeah,
can't they just rug treasuries? Like, how does... Can't treasury rug treasuries?
They've done it before, right? 2 years ago with Russia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like...
That was like the first time they ever really did it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, man, so much has happened since then.
That was always the funny part about Tether Truthers to me. It was like, they were like, you know, we need them to be holding dollars in bank accounts and Tether and all this stuff. And they're like, big conspiracy that was that they were holding Bitcoin in the background to back everything up because Bitcoin is the best collateral ever. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you want to keep billions of dollars outside of government control, like, that's the easiest way to do it. And in my mind, I was like, well, I hope for their sake, they're mostly holding Bitcoin. Like, they're just going to get rugged in any kind of fiat.
Well, it's funny because it's like, in the situation that the US government is in right now, like China, Japan, a few other like massive bag holders of treasuries over the last like 10 years, and especially the last couple of years, have been like unloading their bags like crazy. Meanwhile, like Tether's like increasing its holdings of treasuries. And so the US government's in this funny situation where like increasingly Tether is an important buyer of their debt, of our debt. And yeah, with everyone else like
that's interesting.
Fire selling it, it's like, well, can we really afford to nuke Tether right now?
Yeah, So that's like maybe a bull case for it. Like
for Tether?
Yeah. Like,
but it doesn't matter. None of this matters because it's built on centralization. So like for,
oh yeah.
As much as I hate the Binance FUD and I hate the Tether FUD, like they literally, it doesn't matter, you know, how much success they might find on a regulatory side or a game theory side or whatever. There's just, at any point, it could just be zero.
Right? Yeah.
It's a turkey problem.
Trusted third party.
It's great. It's great. It's great. One day, zero. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think that it's not valuable to work on stable solutions, like alternative stable providing solutions on Bitcoin?
Yeah, I just don't know.
In the interim, I guess.
Everyone can work on whatever they want to work on. I mean, that's the beauty, right? Work on Bitcoin without permission. But I don't think it's the best usage of time, particularly because in this small window or whatever window it is, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 years window where like there's this demand for like a non-TradFi US dollar. Like how many years will Tether serve that, first of all? And like we know these things always have network effect.
Mm-hmm.
So like nothing else really ever becomes dominant unless Tether falls. Mm-hmm. And we saw these regulated attempts at it. And that was a complete dismissal of the main value prop is black market US dollars. Like you can't have a regulatory compliant competitor to Tether.
Yeah.
So like, I don't even know if there's necessarily a direct financial incentive to do it, mm-hmm. because I don't think you can actually take any reasonable market share from Tether unless Tether fails. And in that situation, you also have to be willing to make the same deal that the Bitfinex guys and the Binance guys made, which is, you know, you might be thrown in jail at some point.
I don't think it's bad. I think it's the same answer that I had kind of on like grassroots pushing up, you know, Bitcoin adoption after merchants. It's like, definitely do it. Go for it. I don't know that it's like the highest leverage play, but
okay. So I guess here's a scenario. You go, let's say you're like trying to build a product for someone outside the US and you go down there and you're listening to their problems and they're like, yeah, we tried Bitcoin. We can't use it because of the volatility.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to use Binance.
Right.
Like to me, I'm like, I can't listen to that and be like, no, I'm not going to try to think of something for that person.
Well, like I think there's an argument at least. Like I see someone mentioning stable sats or like the proposal for stability pools as a Fediment module. I think there's an argument that that work can be useful because the argument is you're trying to, in my opinion, the strongest argument there is that you're trying to reduce the pain that the ultimate Tether failure happens because you create all these independent pools that even though they have centralization risk or whatnot in different issues, they're on smaller scales and they're smaller community, right? So less people get rugged at once. And, you know, I think the safe assumption is that eventually Tether rugs, whether it's, you know, force compelled or on their own. And I think eventually Binance, like same thing with Binance, but, and so like, if we have these tools that reduce that risk and encourage people to use them instead of those, then I think there's a strong argument there.
I agree. I wasn't going to bring it up,
yeah.
But I mean, I think like,
but I wouldn't consider that like, that's not like a fiat coin. That's like that's a mechanism to peg a dollar value.
It's like
in a
stability contract, yeah. I guess. That's not a sexy name, but like, it's a stable balance.
Yeah.
That is something you agree upon with people you know and trust, and you're leveraging the trust in that situation to gain this benefit of stability to save you from the volatility of Bitcoin. Like that's, and it's all anchored back to Lightning, and I mean Bitcoin,
right.
Eventually. I love the concept of stable sats or stability pools. Like I think, you know, so that's what I was kind of saying is like stable coins is like, I don't care how they're built. Maybe it's a contract between people, but like the end user is going to think that this is like a dollar. They don't care how the mechanism works. You know, they're just like, they don't understand the Mandrake mechanism of the like our current currency. They don't understand how banks work. They don't understand reserves or lack of reserves, like all this stuff, but they use dollars. So I just think people are going to want dollars for a long time, maybe 5 years, 10 years. Maybe that's not bullish enough, but I just think they're going to want stability in a chaotic world.
I mean, I think saying that people are only going to want dollars for 5 years is pretty bullish.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Well, bullish, bearish on Bitcoin.
5 years? And like, if it's in 6 years, people don't want dollars anymore, that's bullish as fuck.
Well, what's your, what are you guys' time frames?
I don't know, like 10 to 20, 20 to 30 or something.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Like what, like money dies like gradually, then suddenly.
Right. Yeah, I don't know when the suddenly is.
Anymore. We have the best shitcoin. The dollar is the best shitcoin. So all the other ones should happen first, right?
Yeah.
In practice. And maybe this new BRICS thing does like changes the dynamic a tiny bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to discourage people from thinking about these sort of things. Like, because if we have 30 years, dude, I feel like people should be building a very based stability option that is connected to Bitcoin and like making really good experiences with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I both like respect the need for it and the demand for it. Yeah. It definitely exists. But then also like it's just never been my personal demand.
I think what you were saying is right. It's or maybe Matt said it. It's a really good fallback option to have for like a Tether rug scenario. As long as Tether exists, like it's your point that Matt has made a lot, like, you know, people just jump from chain to chain with stable coins, whatever gives
no
them
loyalty.
Like, yeah. Whatever gives them the lowest fees, the easiest
well,
experience.
Some like, loyalty to Tether is my point.
Actually. Yeah. But that's not night chain specific. My point is just like people just want like the easiest thing.
Oh,
with
like
most
Tether
liquidity.
Tron, Tether Ethereum. Yeah, exactly. No one gives a shit. What is the lowest fees?
Right.
Centralization doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, in fact, centralization like is helpful for Tether.
Yeah.
Like you actually want that to be centralized.
Because you have cheaper fees.
Yeah, exactly. But for the day potentially when, you know, that goes to zero, like then having something like stability pools or
I think it's worth it if you have it before that. Because I actually think what happens
be really
is
good before
when Tether collapses, I believe in the opposite of Tether truthers. I believe when Tether collapses, it's gonna be the green god candle of Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
Because there'd be an escape from Tether and there's nowhere the black market can go except
well it's like
Bitcoin.
When the banks collapsed that happened
but even more so because it's fucking Tether and it's, you know, natively in the ecosystem.
There's no jump. Yeah,
I think it becomes like I think it becomes hard for any, like, if we had, I mean, do you realize how big fucking Tether is? Like if Tether goes down, there's going to be a lot of users that are just never going to trust a stable balance again. So like I actually think like these alternatives, that are these more distributed alternatives, they're just almost there to reduce the pain of Tether, because like, you know, maybe you can get 1 million people or 500,000 people to switch from Tether to one of them or something. A bunch of them, right? You don't want it to just be a single rug point either.
But it could also be that Tether doesn't get fully shut down, but it just gets harder to use, more KYC.
Yeah, I mean, they've been freezing addresses and stuff. So,
and then that's like pushing people towards like more no KYC,
but not even that much, because like we've seen frogs boiling over and over again. It's like that's true. The beauty of the frog boil.
I guess it depends how inconvenient the experience gets for people.
Yeah,
because like if you're in an unbanked area and everyone is now forced to have like sort of like bank account, it's like kind of shutting people off from using it. But yeah, I mean, that's my thing that
it's interesting.
Bitcoin Trader doesn't agree with me on, but a couple people do.
I mean, crypto Twitter definitely agrees with you.
Yeah.
Bitcoin Twitter just doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Guys, this has been a great conversation. We do have a hard stop because we have programming happening here at the park. Before we wrap, first of all, it's been an honor and a privilege having you both on your first podcast experience.
It's been great.
You're both good friends and it's always good to kick it. And it's great. It was a great conversation. Before we wrap up, let's do final thoughts. John, final thoughts.
I forgot to give you my actual hot take, which is that Bitcoin VC has the potential to outperform Bitcoin if executed correctly. But
we're trying to wrap up.
I'll leave people with that with no additional elaboration.
Final thoughts.
It's getting me in trouble.
More Bitcoiners should be building healthy businesses. They need to be thinking about customer needs and customer problems before providing solutions to them. And yeah, buy Bitcoin.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you both. Since John put me in the hot seat, I'm going to say Bitcoin is the scarcest asset that that has ever existed, period. People do not appreciate the scarcity. Mm. It's going to be incredibly difficult at this part of the adoption cycle for businesses to outperform Bitcoin. Mm. Does not mean it's not possible. There's been a lot of focus on what that means for potential investors. And every investor that's a Bitcoiner, should always keep that in mind. What is my opportunity cost? If I could own Bitcoin instead of investing in a startup. There's obviously flywheel benefits, even if it doesn't outperform Bitcoin, because you're making the ecosystem more robust. But I think there's less focus on that every founder is doing the same exact calculation. The focus is often on the investor side. But all these founders of all these Bitcoin startups, they're doing the math in their head. You know, if I didn't launch this business and try and bootstrap it for 4 years in the early stages of Bitcoin's adoption cycle, could I have stacked more sats by just working my cubicle dead end fiat job or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this is a calculation that literally every Bitcoiner should be making on a constant basis. I think even if you're spending dollars, your unit of account should be Bitcoin, because that could be Bitcoin you own that you don't own. And it's just a whole mind shift change. And what is the dream? The dream there is when you have a good money that's worth saving and that preserves your wealth and accrues value over time, then you actually allocate capital efficiently. Yep. And you don't make dumbass decisions because you're not bailed out. And you literally have to allocate your time and your money efficiently in order for it to be worth it, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Okay, awesome. Well, this is great. As always, Dispatch is funded by our audience. We have no ads or sponsors. I'm just going to quickly read out the top four boostergrams on Fountain. The episode was yesterday. The most recent episode was yesterday. So it's incredibly impressive that you guys have boosted us to the top of the podcasting 2.0 leaderboards in less than 24 hours. We have at Eric99 with 300,000 sats. Boost to get this episode on the leaderboard. 95% failed, so it only really cost me 15,000 sats. Mary Oscar with 100,000 sats. Big Test 2. Up, that failed as well. Dash with 100,000 sats. Great rip. Also failed. Mary Oscar, Big Test. Thanks, Odell, for great content. 100,000 sats. Also failed. So we're working on liquidity to my node. It is not a solved problem. Hopefully we'll get fixed, but I will say to the freaks, thank you. I told them last week, I told them yesterday, because it's failing, if you do really big boosts, you don't have to pay me. The sats just go back to your wallet, but it still counts towards the leaderboard. So
oh, really?
Thank you for your support, even if it wasn't financial. And hopefully I'll see you guys soon. I'm going to try and get a rip with Barack in before this weekend so we can discuss ARK and debate the merits and whatnot. But with all that said, huge shout out to John and Skylar for joining us. Thank you, freaks, for your support. I appreciate you all. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace.